13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I have something that's kind of unique that I want to share with you, and I hope I don't scare anybody too bad. The adults, I might scare some of you when I talk about what I'm going to look at this evening, but it will be good if I scare you. I don't know. I think, well, what has Pastor Fritz been smoking? I don't know. Smoking Slim Jims. Hebrews chapter number 13. Let's read a few verses here. And boy, that's so cool, isn't it? I got to do that again. That's so neat to watch. Let's see. Can I go back? Yeah, I would just want to watch that because that's so much fun. Isn't that fun? Wow, I like that. That is, you know what that is? That is groovy. That's what that is. All right. Hebrews chapter number 13, verses number 1 through 3. Now I was so enthralled by that, I turned the page in my Bible. Verse number 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. We're going to look at this little phrase here, and I want to give you something tonight. We'll talk about something. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but I'm going to go over some things very quickly to get to what I want to talk about tonight. We're talking about angels unawares. Angels unawares. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you would open our eyes tonight to the spiritual world that's around us. And Lord, help us to see not only your presence, but the presence of spirit beings, and understand some things about how they interact with us today and overlap with who we are and what we are. I pray that you would bless the message tonight and give us something that I know will help us if we hear what God has for us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been looking forward to sharing something with you for some time, but we've had people on Sunday nights for a couple of nights, so I haven't been able to do it, and gave me a little more time to work on something I still don't have completely done. But I want to talk to you about something tonight that I think is quite interesting. I'm going to ask you tonight, have you ever seen an angel? You ever seen an angel? How many of you think, at least shake your head this way or that way? Some of the kids are doing this. Some of the adults are like, like a lollipop. Have you ever seen an angel? By the way, what do they look like? Usually you see a picture of an angel, something like that, right? I don't know. To me, you know what that reminds me of? This is what I call those angels, is Tinkerbell. That's what those angels remind me of. And by the way, those angels have as much to do with the Bible as Tinkerbell. But that's what we usually think of when we think of angels. Sometimes when you talk about angels, and I hear this so much, it's one of those things that it's disturbing to me how ignorant God's people are concerning Bible truths. And one of those things is concerning angels. I hear people say this often when they lose a loved one. They will say, well, they turned into an angel. I've got an angel looking over me now. Speaking of their loved one, this looks like I tried to find grandma, because usually grandma dies and, oh, grandma's my angel now looking over us. That is nowhere, anywhere even hinted toward in the Bible. But I've heard a lot of Christian people say, well, they're my angel now. No, they're not your angel. We don't turn into angels when we die. Everybody understand that? That is never is not mentioned. You can't even find that thought in the Bible. But I'm amazed how many people think that today. And sometimes, again, you know where this came from. When you hear a bell ring, angels don't earn their wings. That came from that guy, is where that came from. That had nothing to do with the Bible. So you don't know who that is, maybe. I don't know. You're probably better off if you don't know who that is. What kind of angels will I see? I could look at a lot of things concerning angels. I was reading a number of things in the past couple of weeks concerning angels, and I could talk for a long time, and most of it would be kind of not only spooky, it would probably be over your head as well. But what would the angel look like if you were to see him? I read about angels in heaven. In Revelation chapter number 4, I'm not going to read the whole description. I'll just show you a quick picture of the picture that the Apostle John saw when he got to heaven. This is a scene. It's not really accurate because I don't see the rainbow around the throne, and I don't see the eyes around the head of those angels. There were four angels around the throne. They're standing in the sea of glass in front of the throne there, but that's somewhat what the angel, that's the best picture of what I could find, how John described the angels that he saw in heaven in Revelation chapter number 4. That's not something you want to put on the top of your Christmas tree, is it? That's not a little trinket you want hanging in your room, or a nightlight in your kid's room. It would probably give them nightmares. Or the angels that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 2. He talked about the angels that had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he did fly. And these angels circled around the throne, and they cried continuously, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." What do angels look like? In the Bible, we often hear of, now this is more of a cartoon picture because I thought we get too many of these up here, we're going to scare all the children or scare the adults. But this is more of a cartoon picture, maybe what you would see in a Sunday school curriculum about warrior angels. We read many things about them. We don't know exactly what they look like other than the angel that stood guard over the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve sinned and were cast out of the garden. He said he had a flaming sword. I think he looked a whole lot more scarier than this guy does. We see the angel standing before Balaam's donkey. Remember that? Great warrior that scared the donkey. The donkey had more sense than the preacher did, scared the donkey in that story. We see the angels of God. I just read this week how the angels of God defeated armies. A number of times in the Bible you see angels of God defeating defending the armies that oppose God's people or defending God's people. We see the angels delivering the disciples from prison. Angels appear as a warrior angel, but we're not talking about them tonight. We're talking about angels entertaining angels unawares. Angels deliver messages. Abraham outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, he came, a pre-incarnate Jesus Christ came and appeared before Abraham with two men. Those men were angels. All three of them looked like men. Abram didn't know what was going on till later that one of them was the very Son of God that spoke to him. And later on, the angels went down into Sodom to see the land, and the Son of God didn't go. He wouldn't defile himself to go down there. The angel delivered a message to Mary and Joseph. You know that story. We hear it at Christmas time. The angel told Cornelius to say in Acts chapter number 10 to go seek Peter. It's interesting that the angels don't preach the gospel. In fact, God warns again, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let him be a curse. An angel never preaches the gospel. And an angel of God never accepts worship. And I'm going over a lot of stuff here, I know, but I'm just kind of rattling through some things to help you to see something tonight, that the Bible has much to say about angels. An angel appeared to the Apostle Paul. Some people say, well, angels are only in the Old Testament. When Paul was going through a shipwreck, an angel of God appeared to him and told him, you're going to be spared, and you tell the sailors they will be spared, but the ship's going to be ruined, and if they don't do what you tell them to do, their lives are going to be lost. An angel appears to John on the island of Patmos and shows him things to come. A number of angels appeared to him. Angels, and I want you to understand this, that angels, most of the time, well, I don't know if I'd say most, I've never really counted it out, but many times, the many things I'm picturing angels, the things that mention angels in the Bible, when they appear, very often, they appear as people. If an angel walked in here, I would think, well, that's just, who's that visitor? Who's that person? It was an angel. Jesus is often seen in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord refers to the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ. Angels are, and there's some other things, general things about angels. Angels are not gods. Angels are created beings. They're not a smaller god. They were created by God. Angels are superior or stronger than man. The book of Hebrews says that He's made man a little lower than the angels. But Jesus is crowned the King of all the angels. And demons are fallen angels. Angels that turn from God with the devil. And I know I'm giving you a lot of things on purpose, just going through them. When the devil appears to us, he appears as an angel of light. If a demon's going to come and talk to you, and by the way, I've seen angels of light. Oh, Pastor, you're getting spooky. I told you I'm going to get spooky tonight, all right? And there's an angel in here not too long ago. That's why I wanted to talk to you about it. I saw him hovering. No, he hit the ceiling fan. No, that's why I shut him off this morning. No. Now, I didn't realize that they weren't on this morning until after the service. I went to shut them off, and they were already off. But what do you mean? An angel comes as an angel of light. When shortly after I was saved, I had the privilege. The first person I ever led to the Lord was my little sister. And it wasn't because I was this flaming evangelist and went out seeking her. I did try to witness to my family, mostly by just slipping them a gospel tract because I didn't know what to say to them. My little sister had a friend, she actually, a close acquaintance. She went on a couple of dates with this young man, but she was the May queen and whatever they have, homecoming queen. So she dated a lot of young men in high school, and she wasn't saved. And this young man was killed in an accident, and she was pretty upset about it. She came and talked to me about, I don't know what's going to happen to me if that were to happen, where I'd be if that happened to me. So I was able to lead her to the Lord. And after she got saved, actually a couple of weeks later, she told me the night before she talked about me, the night that she heard the news that her friend got killed in an accident, she was in her bedroom at night, just after this, she just, not going to sleep yet. Everything was off. Everybody was, sound tucked in and everything. And all of a sudden, she opened her eyes. She wasn't quite asleep yet. And saw someone coming through the wall. There's no door there. I said, you sure they didn't? Well, I know they didn't. There was a window there, but you couldn't get the window open. You'd have to break it to get through it. And this man came through the wall and stood next to her. And she asked him the question that she asked me. What would happen to me if I die? And this was, as far as she knew, this was an angel from heaven. Now granted, she was not saved. And this is what she told me. And I have no reason to question this. This angel told her the same thing the devil told me before I got saved, but I didn't see a visual appearance of an angel. This angel, this being, whatever it was, told her, you've been baptized. You don't have to worry about it. You're a good person. You don't have to worry about it. But he came, and every description you have in your mind of an angel of the Lord
which is not biblical, is what he looked like. You believe that happened? I have no doubt that it happened. Now, my sister is a little bit loopy, but no, I'm just kidding. After all, she is related to me, but do you believe that thing? Those kind of things? I've had some interactions with angels that I won't go into. But that was a demonic angel. That was came as an angel of light. I'll say this, when you study about angels, angels are sealed. I didn't get to the text this morning. I might use it next week for a message. I'm not sure if I will or not. In the book of Hebrews mentions some things, and there's a number of places in the Bible that talk about this, that angels desire to understand things that we can understand that they can't understand. Angels, when they were given the choice, when Lucifer was cast out of heaven, they were given a choice, and whatever choice, whether they chose to rebel against God and follow Satan in his pride, or to stay faithful to God, they were sealed at that moment for all eternity. A saved angel can't get lost. A lost angel can't get saved. And an angel is inquiring, and an angel doesn't understand what salvation is all about. They're inquiring. They're asking, when we pray, I was going to talk about that this morning, and I never got to it. Maybe I'll hang out of that for next week. But when we pray, angels are listening. And they're wondering, what would that be like to have that faith in God? What would it be like to pray? What would it be like to be saved? Those are just some general things. About another general things, angels cannot procreate, or angels cannot have babies or children. They are spirit beings. What do we mean by that? They're not limited by bodies. They've been known to possess bodies, and we see them as possessing. In fact, John referred to the angels around the throne of heaven as beasts. The ones I showed you a picture of, with the eyes of different animals and literally eyes all around their head, and the six wings that they had, and they look like some kind of, and he called them beasts. They have body, and most of the time the bodies that we see in angels that are on this earth, look like a human body. Let me give you something here to write down, some things about angels. I've got four things I want you to get tonight about angels. We'll put up here to make sure you get them. Angels, by definition, are ministers to God and man. That's their purpose. That's why they were created, to minister or to serve God and man. And let me say this, and I know this might mess up your theology, but it comes from the Bible, all right? But people can be angels. You serve God and man, you could fall into the category of being, not that you're going to grow a halo, not that you're going to sprout wings, and not that you're going to grow eyes all around your head, angels, by definition, is a minister of God and man. And angels, by definition, secondly, angels are messengers of God to men. Angels speak to men, deliver messages to men. They serve God. They serve man. They worship God. They serve man. They are in Revelation chapter number 1 through chapter number 3. Someone is referred to an angel. And who is that? Human beings are referred to angels. In fact, seven of them specifically are named. Pastors. But to the angel of the church of Sardis, the angel of the church of Laodicea, to the angel God, the angel is the messenger, the spokesman for that church. And God says that he holds the angel in his hand, the pastor of that church. In his hand, and he stands in the midst of the candlesticks or the churches, the stars or the angels, as he defines that in Revelation chapter number 1, that these angels are the pastor of those churches. People can be angels. Now, have I lost anybody yet? Are you ready to say, Pastor Fritz needs to be admitted to a loony bin. All right? Let me give you something here. Ask a question again. Have you ever seen an angel? Have you ever seen an angel? That's not a trick question. People can be angels. I want to give you an illustration here tonight. I've been dying to share with you. I've shared some of it with some people. Angels are ministers, servants. And by the way, there are many angels here tonight. If you're a servant of Jesus Christ, you're an angel. Did you catch that? If you're a spokesman, you tell people about Jesus, you're an angel. Angels are ministers. Not that we're transposed from being human to some kind of superhuman, but this is just something I want you to... You know, sometimes we spiritualize and we make things so complicated and we don't see the obvious things in front of us. There are angels here tonight. By the way, your parents are angels. They speak for the Lord. They're teaching you in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. They serve you, right? Angels here that serve God and serve others. Many have entertained angels unawares. Have you ever been an angel? That's the next question. Have you ever been an angel? Have you ever been a servant of God? You're serving, you're doing the work. I mean, not that you're fluttering around, not that you're Tinkerbell, but an angel literally is a spokesman, a servant of God and man, and one that that speaks for God. And with that said, I said all this just to kind of give you a background because an angel visited us a few weeks ago. And by the way, that's not, I've had angels visit me before. Let me tell you about one that came years ago when our children were little. They still are kind of little, but they were real little. When our children were young, I'd been here for a few years, and I think I just moved. We just built this entryway here, so I just put my study up in the other building instead of here in the library. I didn't like it here because it always sounded like there were spooks walking around the building when the heat comes on at night and everything. And I'm always looking to see who's here when nobody's, just the heat coming on. But anyways, when we moved up there, I was up in my study, and I believe that my most important ministry I have as a pastor is my family. Without my family, I don't have a ministry. But it's very easy to neglect your family and get involved in different things and lose sight of reality and get so involved in the ministry that you forsake some things that are important. And I heard somebody coming up the steps, and I didn't know who it was, so I stepped out my door, and there's a man standing there. He introduced himself. I don't think he actually even told me his name. He said, "I am a preacher, and I'm camping down at one of the campgrounds." I forget which one he said he was at. He's camping there for just a week, just to get away. And he was wondering if I had a Bible. Because he, in packing and leaving home, he forgot to pack his Bible. Now, what kind of preacher doesn't have a Bible with him? He asked if we had some Bibles around here. So I found a Bible. I don't know if I grabbed one out of the bookstore, out of a lost and found or somewhere. You know, kids, we give them award Bibles, and some kids have 16 award Bibles because they keep losing. Somebody stole it. You know how that goes. And I found a Bible and gave it to him, and we chatted for a little bit, and he said, "Thank you," and he started to walk out. But he started to go down the ramp there, and he got about halfway down or maybe down, and I just started to turn around, and he turned around, and I kind of glanced over, and I noticed he's turning around and coming back up. He said, "I told you I'm a preacher, but maybe I should reword that. I was a preacher. And the reason I'm out here is because my wife and I just went through a separation and we're headed for a divorce. and I'm just out here to try to get a hold of God. He said, if I could give you a little bit of advice, don't neglect your family for the ministry. And he went on and we talked for a while and he said, I failed my ministry because I failed my family. And after we chatted for a while and he gave me his testimony and things, he went back out and headed to the door. I stepped in my office and I thought, you know, I didn't get that man's name. I'd love to see him in church sometime. So I thought, I'm going to step back outside, and the door just closed. I looked out. There's nobody there. There's no car there. There's no person there. And I thought, could that be? I know this is a little too spooky for some people. And he was gone, just like that. He gave me a message. That's what an angel does. He gave you a message you need to hear. It wasn't a new message, but it was a message I needed to hear at that particular time. That's just one. There have been a few times that I know that sounds... I've been wondering about what to call our training course. I don't want to call it a college. I don't want to call it an institute, because maybe you should say, well, Pastor, you need to be institutionalized. But I don't like that word. But anyways, and he said, that's just kind of weird. And by the way, I think of Abraham in the Old Testament. He paid the tithe to who? Melchizedek. That's a fun name to say, isn't it? I suggest that. Chloe and Drew are having a baby boy. I should suggest that name. Melchizedek. He paid a tithe. Melchizedek had no father, no mother. Nobody knows who Melchizedek is. There's a big debate. Was he actually a real person? Was he an angel? Was he? And there's a lot of questions concerning that. Let me just share something with you and we'll be done. All right. It might take a while, but we'll be done when we get done with it, all right? A few weeks ago, a man came to our church service. Some of you might remember him being here. He came in. This is about the time church, and I'll try to talk to him before service. And I understand folks don't know anything about us. They're kind of not sure what they're getting into when they come to church here, good or bad. He sat down, and I went and tried to talk to him. He wouldn't give me his name. He did say his name was Paul, is all I got. He wouldn't give me a last name. He wouldn't tell me where he lived. I said, well, do you live in the area? Are you just passing through? I say, I'm just passing through. I probably will never be back here again. And I thought, well, that's just a little bit, you know. And I was thinking in my mind, I didn't say that, but that's what I was thinking. Okay, that's fine, fair enough. He sat through the service, and I could tell he was felt comfortable when we were singing and the preaching. And after the service, he cornered me over here and started talking to me. He said that, you know, I go to a lot of different churches. And I do some singing in different churches. And there's a song that I've got in my mind right now that I thought you would enjoy. And he didn't sing it, but he just told me the words of this whole song. I said, wow, what was that song? And by the way, he didn't know, you didn't know, I knew. I've been praying about a song that we could do on Sunday night when we had the kids come up here. But I wanted to do something that was different, and I knew what I wanted it to be about. I thought, well, that's... And I said, I've never heard that song before, but I like that song. He said, I knew you'd like that song. So I wrote down the title of the song. And we chatted for a little bit. I didn't get him to fill out a visitor card. Didn't get him to get anything other than his name was Paul. And he left. Now, I was telling this story when Nehemiah was here. I gave him a copy of the song and said, you'll enjoy this song. And I told him a little bit about the story. He said, that guy's been to our church. I said, man, you just messed it up. I thought he was an angel from heaven. But people can be angels. Now it gets much better than that. What he didn't know is I've been praying for a little while about a song on this exact subject, but something that we could say, a new song that we could sing, it's an old song, but it's a new song to me. It was actually written in 1933. And I said, that's good. I'm going to go look at it. I couldn't find it anywhere. So I asked my authority on finding old songs, and that's Isabel. And by the way, Isabel is an angel. I said, Isabel, have you ever heard of this song before? And she said, I think I have. And I don't know if it's that service, the end of that service or the next service. You had it in your Bible at the time. She had a paper folded up in her Bible that she tucked in her Bible a couple of weeks ago when I started praying and asking God for a song. And she said she was just going through an old songbook and saw that and said, Pastor would like that song. You think that's a coincidence? And I told her what the title of the song was that I'm looking for, and she said, you mean this one? And there it is. So I wow. I'm getting goosebumps now. So I had, when my son-in-law was here, I said, you know, I'm not one for reading music, and I don't play a piano, and my son-in-law plays a piano. I said, I gave him the song. I said, could you just play this? He said, yeah, I'll make a copy of it on your phone. I don't know how you do that, but it's on my phone. I can listen to it. And I've been trying to learn the song, but he wrote it as it's written, God used him as an angel there to remind me of something that you know and I know. The most important part, what ought to be the most important thing in our life. My pastor used to always say that the greatest gift, or the greatest thing I can ever do for my people is to teach them to read their Bible and study and memorize and meditate the Bible. There's nothing more important. I get concerned when young people don't even bother bringing their Bible. They don't read their Bible. They don't study their Bible. Yeah, we've heard it all before. And so Phil played it. And I thought, man, I can't sing it that way. But that's the way it's written. He played it this way it's written. And I like the tape recording because right before it starts, you can hear us talking in the background. And I think it was Rachel talking to one of the kids saying, we love Bible school. And then the song starts. I asked another angel, Bethany. She's one of Pastor's angels. She can hear a song and change the key. I don't know how you do that. I've got keys, but they don't change the tunes or change the whatever. So I asked Bethany, could you play this song? And it doesn't matter. She plays by ear. I still think it would be easier to play with your fingers, but she plays by ear instead of by sight. So she could just transpose it to a lower key for me. We're going to do something tonight. We're going to have Bethany come up, and we're going to learn a song tonight. All right? The song is called I Could Not Do. I didn't put that up there. We're going to get it up here. That's cool, isn't it? Wow, isn't that just cool? I could not get along without my Bible. I'm going to sing through it. We'll try to sing through it and see if you can help. It's a little difficult to learn, but it's a great song. I love it. I could not get along without my Bible. It tells me of a Christ who died to save. Relates to me the plan of His salvation. Makes plain just how a Christian should behave. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strength, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way. Let's sing the first verse again. Some people are trying to sing along. You're doing better than me already, all right? I could not get along without my Bible. It tells me of a Christ who died to save. Relates to me the plan of His salvation. Makes plain just how a Christian should behave. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strength, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way. I could not get along without my Bible. Its words are life and spirit to my soul.
revealing all there is for me in Jesus. Renewing, cleansing, burning, making whole. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strengthen, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way. I could not get along without my Bible, a lamp unto my feet, a beacon light. It gives the answer to my every problem, directing, pointing, showing what is right. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strengthen, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way.
That's good, isn't it? Oh, that is a great... Let's sing it again, all right? I like that song. We're going to learn that song, and we're going to sing it on Sunday nights, all right? I want the kids to learn this song especially and live by this song.
I could not get along without my Bible. It tells me of a Christ who died to save. Relates to me the plan of His salvation. Makes plain just how a Christian should behave. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strengthen, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way. I could not get along without my Bible. Its words are life and spirit to my soul, revealing all there is for me in Jesus, renewing, cleansing, burning, making whole. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strengthen, and guide, to keep me in the true and living way. I could not get along without my Bible, a lamp unto my feet, a beacon light. It gives the answer to my every problem, directing, pointing, showing what is right. I could not get along without my Bible. I read its sacred pages every day. Its words are there to comfort, strengthen, and guide me, to keep me in the true and living way.
Oh, that is such a great song. I hope that you would think about those words and heed those words, and that's going to be our theme song on Sunday night. I'm thankful for that angel that came by and shared that with me. And somebody was asking me what he looked like. Well, he looked kind of like Clarence on It's a Wonderful Life. But no, I'm just kidding. Thank God for ministering spirits, the Spirit of God that ministers through us. I hope I didn't scare you too bad tonight, but I want to encourage you to be an angel, encourage you to love the Word of God and to realize the importance and the value of the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to stand.